Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store. Mark Grody from Hallis Hall on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. My table 12 mate at Mark Carmen's wedding. Table 12. What's up, Grody?
I thought we did well at table 12. Yeah, it's the new hashtag out there. And I got to say, McNeil, I got a chance to dance the hora with Danny Parkins, which was just wonderful. We held hands and circled around the chair, which was being lifted, and it was a blast.
Nice. And you participated in it.
And I had to bring, because it was, let's be honest, that was a C-plus at best hora, if we're being perfectly honest.
Oh, who cares?
Really?
Yeah. Well, because
how does one grade the hora?
Well, you got to have full participation, lots of arms linked in the circle. The chair has to get in there sooner.
And you have conscientious objectors who just sat at their tables?
There were not enough. Listen, I was lifting one of the chair legs. There had to have been 10 people at that wedding stronger than me, which showed a lack of willingness to lift the chair. And so I'm there lifting the chair, and I'm, of course, instantly getting tired. So I lock eyes with Grody, and I'm like, get in here. And I bring in Grody off the bench of the Hora to help me out a little bit.
So grab a Gentile.
That's exactly right. So Grody got on a leg with me, and it was very useful.
Yeah, it was very entertaining. Honestly, that was the first time that I have participated in the Hora in my life, and I was thinking, like, has the chair ever fallen? Has there ever been
of course.
An accident? Okay, I figured that
brides have been flung from the chair, old people, children, drops.
Oh, really? Old people, huh?
Yeah. Oh, there have been many a Hora mishap. Mark,
wow, that sounds horrible. That sounds horrible.
Is that a horrible?
Today out here at Hallis Hall, gentlemen, was Akeem Hicks Day. He practiced yesterday on limited basis, practiced a little bit more today, but today was the first time that he was speaking to the assembled media, really since before his injury on October 6th in London against the Oakland Raiders. And here is number 96, Akeem Hicks, talking to us.
I won't lie to you. It was super tough. You play the sport, and you know that it's violent and it's rough. And they say that there's 100% injury rate, right? And I always felt like I was above that. I never had to really experience, some of the things that teammates of mine experience or opponents of mine experience. And it was hard on me. But everything that has a beginning has an end, right? And so being here in this place right now and being able to practice with my teammates, there's nothing better.
Why was it important to you during this time to stay around the team, being in meetings, encourage your teammates the way you did?
You never wanted to get out of the flow. That's really the scheme behind it, just to make sure that you're in an everyday routine, with your guys, still playing the sport you love, doing your work, So it's important that even though I was unable to compete, and even practice, it was important for me to stay around the guys, so I still felt like I'm doing my day-to-day routine.
Where you feel right now, do you think that you'll be able to go 100% against the Packers, just the way you feel now?
Nobody in the NFL right now is at 100%, right? And I look forward to going back out there and competing at a level that I can be proud of. So I'm going to approach that week. This week and that week, as I should.
How would you describe the baby steps process of getting the strength?
miserable. It's to so I'm not going to brag on myself, but I'm a guy that I'll grab whatever dumbbells in the weight room, right? And to go into treatment and not be able to lift more than 2-3 4 or 5 pounds after getting back from London. It was a different feeling, right? It's very humbling. It makes you think what people go through that don't have an arm, right, or that are missing, you know, something. So, you know, it puts things in perspective. And, wow, yeah, it's good to be here now.
Talking about the one-arm guy right there. But it,
or Venus de Milo.
Or Vera de Milo. Excuse me. It would appear that Mr. Hicks is the key thing there is that he is on track to right now to play against the Green Bay Packers, obviously on December 15th at Lambeau Field. It's too bad he's not available for this game against maybe the toughest challenge they will have faced in the backfield so far in Ezekiel Elliott. I think it obviously used him for that, but it's good that he is talking and that he is back and he's out there practicing.
What's his level of involvement in practice?
I'd say limited, Mac. Yesterday was just for the entire team. Was a very light workout, and they also practiced indoors yesterday, so you could almost discount that. I mean, he did some stuff, and then today he was limited. We'll find out tomorrow if he does a little bit more. So I got a feeling that all this week it's just going to be easing him in, and then they'll probably ramp it up next week. But they're going to take it slowly with him and then see where they take it from there. One thing that I'm not sure about yet, because he's still wearing some protection on the elbow, if that will continue to be the case next week and if he will have protection on during the game, which I would assume he probably would.
Grody, did anyone ask him about his hang-up on the radio interview and this team's continued desire to paint an us-against-the-world, fans-and-media-included narrative?
No, but he did start the press conference with us by saying something to the effect of you guys all like me, right? You guys are cool with me, right? We're friends, right? Right? And, you know, everybody generally agreed with that. And but no, none of the contentiousness came add with the show that competes with you guys. So that was not a big topic of conversation with Hicks. He was extremely affable, like he generally is, actually. It seemed like he was happy to see the media assembled around his locker because, of course, we were all breathlessly waiting for him to enter the locker room.
And breathlessly? Kind of, wow.
Yeah, breathlessly. Well, as soon as everybody, usually when you walk into the locker room, everybody kind of just scatters and figure out who they want to talk to. As soon as the doors open today, everybody shot over to the back corner of the locker room where number 96 lurks to get ready to talk to him. And then he made an appearance about 5 minutes later and came and talked to everybody. So it was a massive amount of media to hear from Hicks. And, he put on a good show like he does.
Several days ago when we saw the Bears against the Detroit Lions, we saw a second-year linebacker playing like we all were hoping he would be playing in this sophomore season. Roquan Smith was all over the field. He had both of the Bears' sacks. He had 10 solos. And I think a collective exhale that he's going to be okay. He's actually played quite well these last few weeks.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, Mac. It was an exhale because he's had some nice games this year, no doubt about it. But this one, this was a signature game for him with, as you mentioned, you know, 15 tackles in all, the 2 sacks. I mean, when they dial up a blitz for him, and this is going back to Vic Fangio, he gets home, it seems like, just about every single time. That's part of what he'll address right here. Here's Roquan Smith.
I look at everything as a personal challenge for myself, but it's also a challenge for the defense, and he's a challenge for the league. You know, a guy that does the things, do the things that he does throughout his league and throughout his career. Have a lot of respect for that. So excited for the matchup.
Roquan, what are you seeing in Dak in the way that he's playing this year? That's got their offense moving at a high level.
He's playing at a very, very high level. Can pretty much make all the throws, and also if everything fails, he can pull the ball down and he can run. So just having that other part of his game, it means a lot, and it definitely creates a challenge, but we wouldn't like it any other way, so very excited for it.
Well, how much more questions, Jeff?
How much pride do you take in your blitzing ability?
I take a lot of pride in that, and you know, it's just another opportunity to showcase what I can do, so when I have the opportunity, I just try to make the most of it. Very exciting hearing the call, and then just knowing I have an opportunity to be able to make a big play, so just knowing that within itself means a lot to myself.
A couple things. He was talking about Ezekiel Elliott right in the very beginning, if you need a little bit of context from that. And then that second sack that he had was extremely important because it came after the personal foul that he made. So he obviously made up for that. And I don't know what you guys thought, but as it seems like with most, it was probably roughing, but it seems like with most calls, most personal fouls this year, a lot of them, they seem to all be questionable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, replay slows everything down. Then you
get, it was a foul.
Yeah, it was, but you get the old analyst who, like, back in my day, it wasn't a bad. You know, so it's just like there's so many masters being served there. The slow motion replay, the guy who played in the 80s or 90s,
yeah, well,
the current rule.
Trubisky got roughed, had a helmet-to-helmet, that DB early in the game, and Jerome Boger Trubisky was doing a total eclipse of the guy hitting him, so Boger didn't see it. And that should have been a call as well. The penalties are bothersome to me. What do they have, 10 Thursday?
Yeah. No, they're sloppy, and that's definitely something that has to be cleaned up. I mean, that very well could have been the story of the game had they lost that game. It just seems like every single play there is some sort of flag, and it gets to the point where, you know, a lot of times you're thinking, okay, it's on the opposition. You're just like, okay, what do the Bears do now? Oh, it's in the general area of the Chicago Bears. So it's something that has bit them a lot this year. And, you know, that falls on the coach. I mean, that's stuff that has to be cleaned up. The position coaches got to go to work, and they're not going to get away with that kind of stuff against the Cowboys. I get that the Cowboys have been slumping. They're 6-6, but that's a hyper-talented team, as are all the teams that the Bears have left on their schedule. They're just simply not going to win if they commit that many penalties.
Everyone staying on message of one game at a time, or anyone talking playoffs?
You know, nobody is really talking playoffs. I thought that Nagy answered that question pretty well when he said that we're not thinking about the playoffs, that they're thinking about the Dallas Cowboys. And that is the right answer in this case, because I think everybody has to remain tempered. It's still, you know, a really tough chance at this point for the Bears to get into the postseason. Not only do they need help, but they have to beat those opponents that I just mentioned, which are not easy ones. So, yeah, for the most part, these guys are sticking with, let's just worry about Dallas. And of course, nobody's allowing themselves to look past Dallas despite their recent struggles.
I have a feeling they will give Elliott the ball this week.
Wow, that's a bold take.
Well, they didn't give it to him the other day. They didn't touch it in the fourth quarter, right?
I mean,
in the running game, yeah.
If Bo Scarborough, whatever the hell his name is going to run all over the Bears, I would think the Cowboys would feel with their offensive line that's exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Elliott's going to get I think he's going to get it a ton, Mag. I'm with you 100%. I mean, Todd Gurley did a job on the Bears. Brandon Jacobs, going back to that Oakland game. I mean, the Bears in general, if you look at the numbers, have been good against the run this year. But there have been teams that have been able to exploit that. And this is for any of the Bears' opponents, this is last call. As in last call without Akeem Hicks, because that is what he does best, stopping the run. So, yeah, I'm positive that Dallas's number one target is probably going to be handing that ball off to Ezekiel Elliott.
Grody, I said earlier with the news that Adam Shaheen placed on IR that he's played his last regular season game as a Bear. If they can't find any takers in a trade and he's in training camp next year and he plays in a preseason game, that's one thing. But I will be floored if Adam Shaheen is on the Bears roster next year. What about you?
Yeah, I'd be floored too. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, they've given him every single opportunity to show what he can do. I don't even think he would have lasted this long if he wasn't a second-round pick. I mean, that's obviously what he was. So if he wasn't, you know, drafted with that pedigree, I think he would have been gone already. So, yeah, I think that they have exhausted every opportunity that they had with him, and that this offseason, yeah, it's possible. I mean, he's under contract for another year, but I don't expect him to play another regular season game for the Bears.
Jesper Horsted had a really nice reception for a touchdown, a 14-yarder. He's caught one pass in each of his two games. Do you know enough about him to give our audience an educated account as to what they can expect for him? Do they have something with this guy?
You know, that's hard to tell. I mean, you never know with a guy that is, first of all, I mean, just going back to his college days, he was a wide receiver at Princeton. When he got to the Bears, they converted him into a tight end. He had no idea about anything about the U tight end, which is, you know, fairly new lexicon, I think, to everybody. You know, the U tight end lines up just about anywhere. So it's not just learning tight end, but is learning that specific position. So, you know, I think he's a guy that can be coached and he can learn, because obviously he has done it. I mean, they tried to convert Bradley Saul into a tight end too from offensive line. And as athletic as Saul is, let's face it, that has not worked out at the Y tight end side. So, you know, I do think that this is a guy that they're going to stick with and that he'll be around. I think that when you go into next year, though, I do think that they are going to prioritize that position. No matter what they think they might have with Ben Broniker, I don't think you could take chances on just assuming he's going to continue to thrive and make catches in traffic like he did this past weekend to hold on to that football as well. One of the things that the Bears did against Detroit that you're probably going to see more of, and it came up today in the press conference, is you saw a lot of four wide receiver sets, and that is to compensate for a lack of tight end or for a lack of experienced tight end who can't maybe run every single type of play at this point. So they're making up for the tight end with wide receivers at this point, and that's something that will be fully addressed in the offseason.
Grody, in the last few games, and especially the game against Detroit on Thanksgiving, I noticed Trubisky just much more comfortable, in command, checking out of plays, sending guys in the right direction. He seemed to be a quarterback that was fully comfortable in the offense. And it's also still clearly a dialed back version of the offense that Matt Nagy eventually wants to run. It's not as sophisticated as Philly or certainly what Kansas City is doing. You're on the sideline for all of these games. They told him to watch video of himself for sideline demeanor. Are you noticing anything different in Mitch Trubisky, either at the line of scrimmage or on the sideline in the last two or three games?
Definitely at the line of scrimmage. I was thinking the exact same thing, Danny, that there is a certain confidence. And I think it has to do with the fact that they have simplified things, that they've always said that they were going to do the things that made him comfortable. I think that Mitchell Trubisky has just been speaking up more, because nobody wants to admit, oh, you know, I'm not capable of doing that, and you need to pare it down a little bit and tear some pages out of the playbook. I'm thinking that Mitchell Trubisky has kind of taken command to some degree and said, you know what, this is actually what I am comfortable with. And I think that makes a lot of difference when he steps up to the line of scrimmage. I've never noticed his sideline demeanor to be poor. I mean, he's usually very active. He's usually got somebody in his ear. Typically, the guys that are in his ear when he comes over the sideline, the defense is out there, are Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach, and Chase Daniel, the backup. One thing that was interesting was after he threw the interception this past week, he goes over to the sideline, he sits down, and it was Matt Nagy that sat by him the entire time the defense was out there. And that's a relative rarity. I mean, I know we always see Nagy in his ear standing up, but usually Nagy will let his coaches coach. He sat down by him that entire time. And then after that, that's the drive that ends up in the touchdown pass to Jesper Horsted. And I thought that just because of the fact that he threw the interception and then the very next drive, he has the touchdown pass, and maybe one of his most important drives of his career, even though later on you have the 90-yard drive, which featured the third and four to Anthony Miller.
I know you have pregame responsibilities for every Bears game, but I hope you took advantage of the opportunity to meet the Lions honorary captain, Barry Sanders, who was front and center all day, part of the broadcast on Fox. I enjoyed hearing him interviewed and loved seeing the highlights of him tearing people up.
Unfortunately, Mac, I did not get to talk to Barry Sanders. I mean, he's not Dick Butkus, is he? No, he's not Dick Butkus, right?
We saw you talking to Dick Butkus in those $4 sunglasses.
By the way, I bought some $25 shades today.
Oh, $25. Oh, nicely done.
$25 at Target. Mitch, I expensed them. I hope you're not mad at me. I guess you'll see that very soon, but I was reasonable about it. Mac, I actually wished I had spoken to Barry Sanders, because he's one of those guys that very few guys who you're sort of in awe of, considering what he did. And I think it's nice that he's hanging around Detroit, because it was like it seemed like he had so much disdain for that organization when he left, when everybody was so disappointed that he had the sort of sudden retirement. But it good for that organization that they're able to keep him around and still sell his jersey.
Grody, good stuff, man. We will talk to you soon. Enjoy Thursday Night Football yet again.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Mark.
Bye, Dan.
Table 12. That's Mark Grody. Table 12 with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline.
You guys had me searching Hoora accidents a little while ago. Very few captured on videotape that actually have been shared on the World Wide Web, unfortunately.
It's just, we're not a coordinated people. You start getting people up there in the chair.
But I'm impressed with how protective people are by not putting embarrassing spills on the internet.
That's good.
There's one, and she gets up off of the floor after going down to the floor face first, but she's laughing and she's not bleeding. She's fine. But I didn't see any broken bones or anything like that.
That's good. Yeah,
I was expecting worse.
Yeah, that surprises me, frankly, that there's not more fail videos.
I gotta look harder.
Yeah, you on YouTube? Oh, there'll be some. Well, I'll find you some during the... There's got to be a horror fail compilation out there. There's a compilation of everything else.
I hope so. Oh, thank goodness.
I know there is. For you.
For me, yes.
Just for you.
Just for me. I
would never do such a thing. That's ridiculous. Joe Ostrowski in 20 minutes. We got things to promote next on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
A couple years ago, I tried to put together a deal where we, build a wall, and, the thing is it's they keep, why would you want to keep people out? And I'm like, no, it's about keeping people in. It's about keeping those people in Wisconsin where they belong.
Pete Bursich wanted to build a wall to keep people in Wisconsin out of Illinois and Minnesota. This hour on The Score brought to you by BetIndianaNews.com. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball. They've got Michigan State, the third-ranked team in the country, at the new Welsh Ryan Arena December 18th. Tip-off at 7. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com. We will be in Kenosha at the Bratstop on Friday the 13th.
Yep.
All-day broadcast.
Yes, sir.
With Mitch Waukee's Milwaukee radio station and his Chicago station, 670 The Score. All day, 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I got it cleared. I don't know whose room I'm crashing in. I have no details. I haven't talked to anybody. But if Mitch is springing for hotel rooms, I'm in for bar crawling through Kenosha Thursday night.
So there's going to be a big party. It's going to be Scorehouse Goes North for one night anyway. Huh?
Scorehouse.
Ding, ding, ding. In Kenosha, we will ride. Yeah, I'm in.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm always up for a Thursday night out.
Yeah, so I don't know what the Thursday night game is that week, but...
There are bars you can still smoke in Wisconsin, aren't there? I think there are. I don't know about that anymore.
Yeah, it's like going into Wisconsin. You zip in, you zip out.
It's easy. Czechoslovakia. That's going to be a fun show, Friday the 13th. I look forward to it. Big, big Bears-Packers weekend, and hopefully Akeem Hicks will be back.
But people can see us even sooner. We will be at Tavern in the Green in Evergreen Park Thursday, December 5th, which is this Thursday. So ahead of Bears and Cowboys, it'd be a great spot to watch the game. Miller Lite is having us to Tavern in the Green in Evergreen Park. Find out what's on tap for the Bears game. Enjoy the Miller Lite specials and take home Score Swag, brought to you by Miller Lite.
Looking
Hold
forward
true.
To seeing some of that Score Swag, right? There was a couple of new boxes here recently.
I don't know what it's. I don't know what it all entails, but Miller Lite's going to put on some stuff, and the Score has stuff, and we're going to be there. Tavern in
it's
the Green.
It's going to be fun.
Ahead of Bears and Cowboys.
Build you a bridge to Bears and Cowboys.
I think they're winning. I think they're going to win the game.
Yeah, I think they'll beat the Cowboys, too. That's more of a statement about the Cowboys than it is the Bears, from my perspective.
Yeah.
They haven't beat a team with a winning record yet this year. Why would I think they're going to beat the Bears?
Well, the Bears don't have a winning record.
Well, no, that's true, but
And listen, the Cowboys' defense is much better than the defenses that Mitch has had success against. He had success against the Saints in garbage time. Detroit twice
Leighton
and Washington
Vander
once.
Leighton Vander Esch just stands on the sideline and looks good in civilian clothes every week. He doesn't play him. He is a good-looking man, too, but it's all been put on Jalen Smith.
And he's awesome.
He's very, very good, yes, but they don't have enough.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles are so disappointingly bad. Like, the Cowboys have all the dysfunction, and they've got the more talented roster, but the Eagles, I still think, have the better quarterback and the better coach and the easier schedule. So everything was there for them to just beat these bum slayers. All they had to do was beat Miami, the Giants twice, and Washington. They'd get to 10 wins, and the Eagles would have won the NFC East, and they lose to Miami.
It seems like every, 6 or 8 years, you get a team win a division, and nobody has an interest outside of that city in seeing them host a playoff game or even appear in a playoff game. And the Bears, I think Jay Cutler's only win in a Bears uniform in a playoff game was against the historically worst playoff team in NFL history. The Seahawks, I think, were 7-9 when Cutler beat them. I'm pretty sure that was the worst team statistically in NFL history to make the playoffs. To lose to Miami is an all-timer. And I know the Dolphins have won 3 of their last 5, but still.
Fitzpatrick has made them serviceable.
You're 2 years removed from a Super Bowl victory, you know?
Yeah, the Eagles have fallen fast, and you can't just say it's injuries. Like, I know they've had injuries at receiver, and they had drops, and there was no Jordan Howard, and so.
Yeah, perish the thought of life without Jordan Howard.
Well,
but
if you watched any of that game, they kept talking about it. Miles Sanders is all alone back there. It's right. Okay, they invested a draft pick, get him, and Jordan Howard's just a guy. You'll be fine. You guys should be fine.
And the quarterback who took those Eagles to a Super Bowl championship, it looks like the bloom is off the rose with Nick Foles, who was dreadful yesterday for the Jaguars. I've not noticed any texters today asking for Foles to be a Bear next year, as we have seen every time we start talking about the possibilities of who competes for the job with Mitch Trubisky next summer. Not one.
And I still think that Gardner Minshew is just a guy. He just on that day happened to be better than Nick Foles.
Foles has been benched for the duration of the season. Marone, I've seen enough. He was guaranteed $50 million of that $88 million contract he signed.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Listen, any quarterback that people link to the Bears, first of all, the better Trubisky plays down the stretch here, the less likely it is that they're going to take a big swing. But I think it's more likely to be a failed quarterback with another team as opposed to a Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr, like a big money investment, big trade to get a guy who you could still talk yourself into having some sort of prime.
Yeah, as this season for the Bears has evolved, those who were Mitch's biggest detractors have less and less on which they can stand. He has made those small steps, and his receiving core has failed him. The running game, most of the time, has failed him. I like the way Montgomery ran Thursday. I hope Matt Nagy saw the game and watched that. And
wait, did you say that you think Trubisky's turned the corner?
No, I don't think he's turned a corner. I think he's given them reason to not only invite him back, to maybe make him the incumbent to be their starter next year. Yeah, I don't think it's a big change for you.
I mean, two games ago, you were done with him regardless of the rest of the year,
well,
right?
I don't think he's ever going to have an it factor. I don't think he's ever going to be the kind of guy who puts a team on his shoulders. But the more we watch the Bears play, the more there's evidence that there are a lot of clowns around him. That offensive line continues to be penalty-ridden. They continue to drop passes. He hit Allen Robinson Thursday right on the hands. He drops it for a first down. What would have been a first down?
Well, the best case scenario for the Bears is, was, and always has been that they get it right enough with Trubisky. Right, that he ends up being Eli Manning in the draft with Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger. The least talented of the three, but the guy that your fan base is still cool with because he's good enough for you to win big with. You know, Alex Smith, good quarterback who multiple teams paid, right. Not Aaron Rodgers. Like that has always been best case scenario. So if Mitch plays well down the stretch and they bring him back, there's no risk in bringing Trubisky back.
The risk doesn't cost you anything.
The risk is in paying him like Carson Wentz or Jared Goff before you have to.
No reason to.
And there's been enough bad from him this year that it seems unfathomable that the Bears would do that this offseason.
Right, especially when you see the evidence around the league that guys aren't earning those guaranteed contracts. Don't be like them. Thank goodness Jared Goff fell on his ass this year after signing a $110 million guaranteed dollar contract.
Well, and it's not only the extension, too. It's just, are they going to pick up that fifth-year option as well worth $22 million?
So no. We're saying no. Let him play for his job next year.
Yeah. It's protected for injury guarantees. At this point, it's a clear no. I still think there's a chance over these four games. Listen. If he plays well against real teams, like if he wins a shootout against Pat Mahomes, or you know he beats the Packers and he beats the Vikings, like, there's going to be a conversation about will he've shown enough in the first 3 years where you want him to at least be under control for you next year. Like that's going to be a legitimate conversation this offseason.
Yeah,
but he'll be on the team next year, and there's no risk of him being on the team then.
No, there isn't, and you got to accept that he's coming back, and he might even wind up being their starter next year. There's so much dysfunction with that Bears offense. It's tough for me to point the finger at him these last couple of weeks. That interception he threw at the end of last week's game was terrible. And the one that where he got Darius Slay got him on Thanksgiving, that was a terribly thrown ball.
Yeah, he's not having perfect games. He made the mistake on the run for the first down and lost his awareness of where he was on the field. And they're clearly, again, simplifying things to beat bad teams.
His coach did not want to go to the locker room trailing the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving. It's the first time I've seen him visibly really pissed at Trubisky.
I can't really blame him. That was a first down that he just gave away for no apparent reason because he forgot down and distance. Right? He lost track of where he was.
Get there.
Got to have awareness. And I want to see him beat a team that disguises coverages and plays zone as opposed to just straight up man-to-man like he's been able to pick apart against the Lions. This is a take that just is so out there that I want to see how he justifies it. Wally and Elgin, that's a hell of an intro for you. What's your idea for the Bears fans on the drafts coming up?
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I think the organization kind of owes it to us. I've been a fan for 27 years of my life and not a lot of good first round draft picks. Ryan Pace certainly thinks outside of the box. There's no doubt about that. And I was wondering, maybe we have a year and a half to figure out the logistics. What if the organization gives the fans a chance to vote? Let's say we have the 12th pick for a first round pick only. Let's say that we have the 12th pick. We rank 18 people. Whoever is available with the highest ranking, we pick them. Because if Watson was available, we probably would have voted for him. And just one time. And the only reason I'm saying this is because of how terrible Ryan Pace has been in the draft with the number one picks and pretty much this organization since I think Urlacher was probably the best one I could think of in the first round.
All right, so the idea is take the first round pick power out of Ryan Pace, and he has to go with the majority opinion of a fan vote for the first round pick. What do you think, Mac? Would the fans do better than Ryan Pace?
As much as I do not trust Ryan Pace to be the guy who's in charge of the Bears' future at the most important position on the field, I think he's better equipped, so I'm going to go with no.
I agree with you. However, mm-hmm. I do think in 2017 the fans would have gotten it better than him.
Mm.
Right? The fans would have drafted Deshaun Watson because they saw him play in the big games.
Probably.
Right?
Probably.
And so that's one of the rare times. Like, I don't know that the fans would have drafted Roquan Smith, for example.
How about the fans pick a kicker?
Fans pick a kicker.
It can't be any more. That's only a step more clownish than it was last year.
Well, I mean, the Colts should do that. The Giants should do that. The Niners should do that.
Yeah,
the Bears should do
kidding.
That. The Seahawks can do that.
It's around the league. I think what happened was, I don't know if there's any other explanation for this, but a psychological phenomenon of moving the PAT back a few years ago.
Yeah, they don't have the gimmies anymore.
I think the high incidence of miss in that situation has gotten in the heads of every guy who does this for a living, and it's no longer, I feel good about this guy making a 48, 49-yard field goal. There's only a couple of them left.
Justin Tucker is one,
and he missed a PAT last week.
Yeah, but listen, missing one or two of those, okay, fine. Like, that guy stepping up to hit a game-winning 49-yarder, was there any doubt in your mind he was making that on a wet field?
No, I thought he was going to make it.
Yep, like, that's the type of confidence that very few teams can have in their kicker these days. We'll bring in Joe Ostrowski, who's got a Lamar Jackson MVP ticket next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Joe O, live from Springfield, and Rick Camp in studio.
The people talk.
And Joe Ostrowski has some breaking Cubs news to kick off his show if he wants it. According to Gordon Whitmire, Addison Russell has been non-tendered by the Chicago Cubs, which means Addison Russell is no longer a Chicago Cub. It was really the only decision that they had to make, right?
Yeah, that was it.
I mean, they were going to pay him $5 million to not be a starter with all of the baggage and a sub 700 OPS.
And you saw Nico Hoerner getting some playing time at the end of the year. You gave David Bodie the contract about a year ago.
That was the guy who could have been
Barry Larkin.
Right. That was the guy who was introduced at the ring ceremony as a future MVP. Had 95 runs driven in 2016. Big postseason home runs.
Well,
man. And just since then, nothing.
I don't expect there to be even a smattering of boos among Cubs fans after the last couple of years. And not just for stuff off the field, for how he's performed on it. He's underwhelmed.
You mean in terms of the news?
Yes.
Like people saying it? Yeah. It's funny. Like, once they made the decision to give him the second chance, which was hotly debated. Mm-hmm. Then he came back and wasn't good, and not only wasn't good, wasn't focused, like never seemed fully locked in and appreciative of the huge limb that Theo went out on to rehabilitate him publicly within the eye of the Cubs. Like, they could have non-tendered him this time last year, and they didn't, and he's forgetting signs and
he couldn't even play defense.
Getting thrown out on the bases and like forgetting the number of outs and just
bad caddying.
Exactly. So like there's the off the field stuff, there's the on the field stuff, and then there's just being mentally disengaged from the sport. It's a tremendous waste of talent because he's got a lot of it.
It's the only decision they could make. And
I agree.
If you're a Cubs fan, if he has some success somewhere else, you don't feel bad for a second. It's a decision that probably should have been made a year ago. They showed, well, if you can play, we'll deal with all the other stuff, all the baggage that you bring. We'll deal with it. But now you can't play? No, sayonara.
That'll do it.
And then other beat writers reporting, and Bruce and Sahat have confirming the report. It just seems like they all got it at the same time, mm-hmm. and Gordon was the first one to get it out. Almora, Baez, Bryant, Contreras, Schwarber, and Kyle Ryan, of course, were tendered contract offers. So that was all expected. The only real intrigue of the day was whether or not Addison Russell was going to get an offer, and he did not. So he is now former Cub Addison Russell. How you spending your show tonight, Joe?
Well, a lot of football, a lot of NFL, just like you guys spent your afternoon, and maybe switch the order a little bit because I was expecting the Cubs news in about an hour around the deadline. So
they came in early for you.
A little bit.
You still got to feel good with your Lamar Jackson ticket, given they won, right?
Since they won, since he had over 100 rushing yards, yeah, I feel pretty strong. But
and the nation didn't see it either. The nation saw him a week ago tonight when he was dazzling as a passer as well as a runner.
But what scares me, Mac, is the nation will see Russell Wilson tonight. He dominates in prime time. So a big win and a big performance out of him against the Vikings, that could be tough.
Another reason for me to root for my under tonight. Your under. Bet. I'm playing the under tonight, and I hope Russell Wilson throws the ball to Harrison Smith three times to help me get that under. As long as Smith doesn't return,
as long as he doesn't return it.
What did Bursich think about that?
I don't think he was.
He didn't
buying
want to
it.
Play.
No, I don't think he was buying it.
Well, have a good show, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you to the Phenom, Sean Anderson, for filling in for Nick Shepkowski. Shep back tomorrow? Yes, he's back tomorrow. Lovely. Chris Tanner.
He is the Phenom.
Tanny handles the sound around here, makes us sound better than we are. Our guests today were...
We talked to Boomer Esiason every Monday at 3 o'clock. Pete Bursich from Vikings Radio, as mentioned. And Moby Ditka, Mark Grody, joined us from Lake Forest.
He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. Come see us in Evergreen Park on Thursday from 2 to 6. We will be there, and then we will be at the Brat Stop in Kenosha on the 13th. We are McNeil and Parkins. Joe next. This is The Score.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.